In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We speak responsibly the words of the introit. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him.
Tell of all His wondrous works.
Glory in His holy name.
Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Seek the Lord and His strength.
Seek His presence continually.
Remember the wondrous works He has done.
His miracles and His judgments together.
He remembers His covenant forever.
The word that He
like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The first lesson for this morning, which during the season of Easter, the seven Sundays of Easter, comes from the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. Acts 4, and this is the text for our sermon meditation this morning. The full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that anything of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of land or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord. Christ has risen from the dead.
God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor.
He has given him dominion over the works of his hands.
He has put all things under his feet.
The epistle lesson for this Sunday comes from the first letter of John, the first and second chapter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things, so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am not writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does have sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise out of respect for the words and deeds of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, we know it is Sunday, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But then he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard these words of the gospel, we confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate through the Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We'll sing the sermon hymn. The text for meditation comes from the first lesson in the Acts chapter 4. Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in our sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know how many of you follow this. When I eat lunch with my cronies at work a couple times a week, every day for the last week or three, we talk about the Final Four, the NCAA. That's a big excitement for some people. Back when I was in college, it's a wonder I even got any good grades in the spring semester because I missed so much class and so forth because we would watch all the games pretty much. But yes, so it's a lot of excitement, and especially the final games are really a good time, and sometimes there's a sweet Cinderella team that wins it all. But the question I'd ask for you, now maybe nobody here pays attention to it, so this is an unfair question. Who won last year? I don't know. Of course, in my life with teenagers and everything, I just don't pay as much attention to all of that sort of stuff. So no, I could tell you going back into the 70s who won and all the excitement about it. Who won the World Series last year?
Rangers.
Some people, supposed to be Astros fans around here anyway. Yes, some people remember. Who was the other team to play? But anyway, who won the Super Bowl recently? I mean, probably people. I actually watched the Super Bowl for a change. I wanted my boys to actually see some football because we don't watch a lot. But yes, a lot of those things, the point of that is, is it's a big excitement at the time, but then what? It's kind of the day after or the week after or the year after test. Does it have lasting value? Does it have lasting meaning? For the people who are directly involved in it, sure. But, now, who knows? When the Saints won the Super Bowl back in 2010, I lived in New Orleans, and I'm a Saints fan, so I ran around the house a couple times and hooped and hollered and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, everybody else was doing it, too. All of my neighbors, they were outside. Then, it was a great time. Does it have much meaning in my life now? It was nice. I still have the T-shirts and stuff from it, but that's about it. So Easter Sunday is a big deal. I mean, in churches across the country and across the world, Easter Sunday is a big deal. Then what? What then? Today's lessons, the lessons that were chosen for today, each in their own way show that Easter has lasting value, that there's something about it that lasts. The gospel text deals with the Sunday after Easter, the week later, that's what 8 days later means, the next Sunday, and good old Doubting Thomas. And there Jesus points forward to people who would not see him and yet would still believe in him without seeing him. John, in his first letter that was written in AD 90, the year of our Lord 90, and that would be about 60 years after Easter, spoke to those who had not seen and yet believe. That's why John goes in. I love John's language, but it can be a little complicated for if you're not used to it, where he's talking about, because he was at that time the only disciple of the 12 that was even left alive, and he was old, had seen him. And all these people he's writing to had heard of Jesus and believed in Jesus, but he was actually there. So he's just emphasizing the importance of what he has to share with them. But he has spoken to those who have not seen and yet believe. Evidence that Easter was still a big deal even 60 years later. And then we have our text, a few verses from the Acts of the Apostles that takes place about a year or so after Easter, roughly, showing the meaning and the impact of Easter on people's lives then and people's lives now. I didn't do this at the beginning of the service. You probably did this lesson. It's a common refrain that's done throughout the Sundays of Easter. They go, "He is risen." Hallelujah. Exactly. Now, do you know what today's Sunday is called? And this is in popular terms. It's not an official name. It's called Low Sunday. Why do you think they would call it that? And the attendance after Easter. Now, honestly, I wasn't here last Sunday. I'm sure there may have been more people here last Sunday than typical, but this is a pretty typical Sunday whenever I'm here. So, but yes, even after all these years, there's a big people come, and then usually that's one of the lowest Sundays of the year is the Sunday after Easter. As a matter of fact, that sometimes even pastors take vacation that day. After all the Lent and everything, they take a vacation on that Sunday. I'm not sure if Pastor John's there today or not, because I'm not. But yes, even after all these years, you know, I'm almost 60 years old, I still don't, I understand and I don't understand why people come to church one or two times a year only. You know, why those times? I mean, obviously Christmas, Easter, that's, but yeah, why, if you don't come, why do you come those one or two times? You know, I still don't always totally understand that. But, you know, when I would preach on Easter or Christmas, either one of them, I wouldn't try to shame people for showing up just those two times a year, basically punishing them for actually showing up. That's not right. But to help them see that the resurrected Savior wants to be part of life, part of our life every Sunday, every day. You know, being a Christian means that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ changes every day in our life, not just one or two a year. We have been raised to new life in Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit and our baptism. We are resurrection people, Easter people, every day, all the time. And not just after we die, but we have been raised to new life now. That's the whole idea. It's not like we have the golden ticket, and the Willy Wonka thing, we get the golden ticket, I'll get in heaven, and what I do between now and then just doesn't really matter. I can just, as long as I don't lose that golden ticket, I'm good to go. You know, that's not it. We have a new life because of Christ. We have already died to sin. That's why we confess that every Sunday. We've died to sin and have been raised to new life in Christ. We are meant to be living evidence of Jesus' resurrection as we live out the change that he has made in us, the change that can be seen in those verses of Acts. Every Sunday is a celebration of Easter, and every Sunday unpacks what Easter means. And so, because of that, I'm not going to get them all. Just a couple today. Because Jesus lives, and you can just see, because he is risen. There you go. Hallelujah, yes. I know that my life in him will extend far beyond my life in this world, however long that may be. My life, it isn't just going to go on longer. It's going to go on forever. That's a big deal. And I also know that I can't take the things that I have, the things in my life, I can't take them with me when that time happens. Further, I understand that everything in my life really doesn't belong to me at all. God made those things, whatever they are, even the people in my life, my wife, my children, whatever, you know, and he merely entrusts them to me. That's the whole idea, you know, and that's somebody's even suggested in the creed saying, you know, God, the maker of heaven and earth and owner, you know, to emphasize to people, he didn't just make it. He still owns it. He entrusts it to us because he loves us. You know, just like I emphasize to my boys, that phone does not belong to you. It's mine. You know, that computer does not belong to you. It is mine. You know, whatever. And because that, you know, to emphasize that if I can take it away if they misbehave. You know, but that's true. They didn't pay for any of that. They don't pay the bills on it. And so also, yeah, the things that we have do not belong to us. That's how we get those little verses in 32 through 35 in Acts. It's not communism. It's not collectivism. It's just using the blessings that God has given us to help others in need. Now, what I'm about to say is just my interpretation, but I think others have echoed it. It's not in the Bible directly, but when it says they sold their houses and land, it probably was not that they sold the house they live in or the land they farm, but just extra things that they have. Because if they sold the house they lived in, then they wouldn't have anywhere to live. Then they'd be in need. The idea was they had blessings in their life. They had abundance in their life. And they, instead of just keeping it for themselves, they saw people in need. And without being commanded or told, but just out of the joy of their heart, they shared that with others. Now, Jesus said, "They will know you are my disciples if you love one another." That's the idea. We have been blessed in so many ways, and we have the joy of being a blessing to others. That's a constant theme, and about blessed to be a blessing to others. I in terms of how churches outreach into their community, you know, how do you do that? I mean, I've done Ding Dongs for Jesus, you know, where you go and ring people's doorbells, and people, especially nowadays, don't care for that all that much. And quite honestly, I'm like, if I had to be a salesman, I'd starve. That's just, I don't have, it's not in me. And when I, in seminary, I had to go, we'd pair up and whatever, and kind of do like the Mormons did and go out. I was almost rooting every time that they wouldn't be home, you know, because it's just not my nature to do it. I mean, it's good to have care and they want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, but what I saw at one church of my, in the, not the church my mom goes to, but a different church in the town my mom lives in, at the 4th of July parade, they walked around, and this is, of course, 4th of July in Illinois, it's pretty hot there, and they walked around and gave water bottles to everybody. You know, they had their name on it, whatever, but it was just being a blessing to people. They didn't preach to anybody or anything. They just, hey, when you're hot, have some cold water to drink, and everybody appreciated it. That's just a little way that, you know, to be a blessing, to be actually, oh, hey, I've heard of you, this church, because they did something. They shared about their blessings. It's a small thing, but that's the idea. We are blessed to be a blessing to others. That's the best way to kind of gain entry into being able to share the gospel with people, is to be a blessing. So people see something different. You know, something that's what happened in the days of the Bible and the Roman Empire. People saw, hey, there's something different. These people might be kind of weird, these Christians, but they love each other and they love the poor and they love, you know, they help people. So that was how the church spread, even when it was being persecuted by the Roman emperors. So because he is risen. I hadn't really planned to do that, but I just kind of like it. So, because of that's true, I know that my sins were paid for by his innocent, bitter sufferings and death. That's what the resurrection is, in part, is basically a stamp of approval by God the Father on the sacrifice that Jesus made, that what Jesus did was successful, was accepted, and that our sins have been forgiven, and that I live in and by his grace alone. God's grace is wonderfully comforting and freeing from wondering if my life is going to be good enough. Because the simple answer is my life going to be good enough? No. That's the simple answer. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the failings I have, because I live by God's grace. When God looks at me, he sees the perfection of Jesus Christ, not my failings day. That doesn't mean I want to just live like a pig or anything like that, but it just means that when if I'm honest, and if any of us are honest, I could look back every day and kind of say, yeah, I kind of blew it there. Yeah, I didn't do. A lot of mine are omission, not doing things, but some of them are doing things I shouldn't do also. But I could grade myself every day and I would never get 100 if I'm honest. And that's true, but with grace, that doesn't matter. That's not why we live. That's not who we are as Christians. You know, guilt is not the overriding thing with Christians. Sometimes Christians in history have been motivated by guilt to do different things. And that's exactly where you get, I don't know if this is Baptist country or kind of sort of Bible thumpers. I'm not saying all Baptists are Bible, but there's a thing called Bible thumpers. Because that's guilt. They've been told, you must tell people about Jesus, so that you get that all the time. You get kind of angry at the heathen that make you have to go out and tell them about Jesus, because that's my interpretation, but I think there's a point to that. If you're driven by guilt or you got to, that can make a person rather unpleasant. But when it's grace, God has done so much for me and I just want to share it with people, that's a different thing at all. It's very freeing. You know, because I live under grace, we all live under grace, it's important to show that same grace to other people as well. Paul writes in Ephesians, forgive one another as you have been forgiven. Truer words, and that's family life writ large. In my household, that needs to be emphasized so many times, especially my boys, they're getting that age where they're kind of, you know, they don't punch each other, they just have, you know, they get that attitude towards each other. Christopher's, blah, 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 blah. Jonathan thinks he's so good, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's like, grace, yes, your brother's a jerk sometimes. Yes, so are you sometimes. You know, it's like, okay, he is like that. All right? And it's not good, but what are you going to do about it? Just be a grump about it? You know, that's not showing God's grace. You know, love him. If the person has a problem, what do? Talk to other people about it? No, you pray for them. Basically, we have no right to say anything about anybody if we have not taken it to God first and prayed about it. And then we should pray about, what should we talk about? Because if I hate to use names because I don't want to use, if so-and-so is running around on his wife, is that something to gossip about? Or is that something to pray about, and maybe the people, you know, somebody in the church needs to say, you know, hey, whatever your name is, you shouldn't be doing this. You know, that's the whole idea of grace. And grace is the grease, the lubrication, that allows us to work together in harmony as Christians. Because we all have our flaws, we all have our faults, we all have our bad days, however it goes. It's what allows us to work together as God's people without a lot of friction. Friction does happen. Even how would you like to get mentioned in a letter of Paul? You look in Romans, there's two ladies that are mentioned there. It says, please help these two ladies get along, basically. So it's forever and ever, they are in the Bible because they didn't get along with each other. But always be remembered that way. But he wasn't trying to shame them, but he was actually concerned because he loved both of them. Boy, I can tell you in my life, that's an awkward place. When you're the friend of or relative of two people that are having trouble with each other, and they're both telling you, that, of course, again, I do that. I get that with my sons almost every other day. But it's a very awkward place to be. But yeah, so you know, grace is important, and that would be my message to whoever the two people are that are telling me on the other person. You know, have you prayed about them? Or, you know, show God's grace to them. You know, kind of give them things like that. You know, friction does happen, but the reconciliation is even greater. We should pray for a generous spirit that can. That's the key. Anytime I see all that, and I know I'm guilty. Sometimes my spirit is not as generous as it should be. We should pray for a generous that can acknowledge the faults of others and still love them, and can acknowledge our faults and still be able to love each other and work with them. You know, I desire to show to others the same grace that God has shown me. And that's a lot. God has shown me a lot of grace. The fact that I'm even alive today is a lot of grace, if you ever hear some of the stories of my childhood. That's very important. Last one. That's the second one. Last one. Because He is risen.
He's risen indeed. Hallelujah.
There is nothing more important than a person having a saving faith in Him. There is no other name given on heaven and earth by which we must be saved other than Jesus Christ our Lord. And that applies to every person in my life, whether it's my family, my friends, the neighbors I hardly even know. I live in a cul-de-sac, but we still hardly know the neighbors. I don't even know all their names. Co-workers, my lunch buddies that I've been eating lunch with for 10 years now in many cases, they are our mission field, the people that we know in our lives. It's so, you know, people in foreign countries, way over on the other side, they're important too, but these are the people that God has placed in our lives. And it's important for us, you know, to be in prayer for them. You know, even the ones we know are Christians, to be in prayer for them, that they would continue to walk and grow in their grace. But especially that we would have an opportunity to share our faith with them. You know, I ate with my lunch buddies this week twice. And it even came up in one of the meals. One of the guys knows that I am or used to be or whatever a pastor, and he mentioned it. And my other guy that I eat with every time I'm there, twice a week, he said, "Oh, really? I didn't make a big deal about it. You know, I pray for the opportunity, but I don't just kind of pin him in a corner and say, do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior type of thing." You know, that sometimes people meaning well do stuff like that, but I try to live a life that people will ask questions, like the lady that asked me, why are you so happy all the time? That's a golden opportunity. You know, basically by being different than the world around us and looking for opportunities to be salt and light in this world. That, you know, it's difficult to be a witness where we are, and a lot of people kind of, why do I have to do this? You know, but it starts with a resurrection life, a life of living that exhibits joy, hope, generosity, love, and forgiveness. That's different. You know, being different than those around us. And if we're living in Jesus' way, it'll come out sooner or later. It's okay to get caught up in excitement of things like sports, or there was excitement in our house yesterday of new baby fish in my wife's aquarium. Oh, look at these little guppies. And you know, the little things swimming around and they didn't get eaten by the other fish. That's kind of a miracle in and of itself. But yeah, so you get excitement about different things like that, big things and little things. As long as we realize that those things are not of lasting value. There's no real eternal value as to who wins the Final Four this week or any of the other sports. It's just something fun to focus on for a short period. Anyone that focuses on the things of limited importance, and I'm here talking things people really would think of, career, money, social status, whatever it is, will eventually be let down by it. Guaranteed that's going to happen. It may be right on their deathbed or after they die, but you know, they're going to be let down by it one way or the other. My prayer is that we would be of one heart and soul, just like those believers at the year after the Easter. You know, be like them, and whose focus on the risen Lord Jesus Christ and whose love for one another was a blessing to those around them and drew others with a desire to know Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hey, hallelujah. All right. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, your Son is the firstborn from the dead. In him we have been reborn into a new and living hope. Nurture us with the pure milk of your word that we may grow to maturity of faith and have everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy, grant to those ordained for your service the gift of the Spirit, wisdom that comes down from above, and grace to faithfully fulfill their holy calling where you have placed them. Lord, in your mercy, as your people are united in the common life and love of our Savior, grant that we would share that life and love with all those in need. Lord, in your mercy, build up the households of your people, that your holy children, begotten in baptism, may grow in your grace and share together in your forgiveness and life. Lord, in your mercy, you have instituted authorities to carry out your justice. Bless all who make, administer, and judge the laws of our land. Give them wisdom, integrity, and honor to serve according to your good will. Lord, in your mercy, as your Son's wounds brought gladness and peace to the troubled disciples, give your presence and comfort to those troubled in our midst. We ask this especially for Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Larry Foltz, Mary and Alfred Durson, Cynthia Scholten, Cassidy and her twin babies, Rhea and Emerson, Dean and Sue Sauberly, Barbara Hanby, Scott Papka, Don and Donna Tolner, Adeline Wood, and Ron Semestra. Comfort all those who weep with the blessed joy of Easter morning. Lord, in your mercy. Father of the risen Christ, you give us the crucified and risen body and blood of our Lord in his holy supper. Let us taste that the Lord is good and continually grow up unto salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that out of your indescribable grace, for the sake of your Son, you have given us the holy gospel and instituted the blessed sacraments, that through them we may have comfort and live the forgiveness of sin. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily believe your word and through the holy sacraments establish our faith day by day, until at last we obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. We will sing our communion hymn. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially, we are bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take ye, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
His mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to You, Almighty God, that You have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore You that of Your mercy You would strengthen us through the same in faith toward You and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.